Nice to see you all. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you have done for us. We are so grateful and thankful, Father, for your magnificent word and for the beauty of it, Father, for opening it up to us, Father, so that we could understand. We can see the great love that you had in our Lord for his tremendous sacrifice, Father. And all that was accomplished and done for us, we're so grateful and we are thankful. I ask you for your blessing and your help for all of your people. Thank you for taking care of each and every one. Thank you especially, Father, for my Mary. I thank you for taking care of her. Thank you also, my God, for Christine and the baby that's growing within her. I thank you for your blessing on her. Thank you for your magnificent mercies and everything that you have done. And for all of us, Father, that are hurting, I thank you for taking care of your children. Help us with the outreach of your word, my Lord. And I ask you that you give us the opportunity to speak the word to someone and just bring them to know you, to praise your holy name, Father, and to enjoy eternity with you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, why don't you take your Bibles? We're going to go to Mark. Well, first we're going to go to the Psalm. Psalm 119. In verse 105, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. God's word, that's the theme verse for our church, by the way, but there's a lot of verses that go along with this church, but that's the one I put up on the website. The word of God gives us everything that we need. It is a light unto our feet. It's a, it just illumines us. It helps us. It teaches us. And the more you look into it, the more wonderful it becomes. The word is, it is that lamp unto our feet. It guides us on our way. And it takes care of, if we follow it and if we do it, it really does bring us to great and wonderful places. It really does. Go to Mark. I was watching on the YouTube channel. There was a very intelligent man who was, I forget his name. But he's a psychologist or whatever it is, and he teaches college. One of the major universities, and he's an atheist. But he was reading the scriptures as ancient knowledge. He wanted to see what was in it, ancient knowledge. He said, the book's 3,000 years old. You know, let's look into it. So he was looking, and he was looking just from a point of view of a scholar, just reading it. And then all of a sudden, he was fascinated at the fact that many of the things that were written over 3,000 years ago, like with Moses and the book, and the first five books of the Bible, had a theme, and that that theme was still carried through thousands of years later. That things that were spoken of that would happen 3,000 or 4,000 years before happened later on. And he said, what are the odds? What are the odds? You know, and it illuminated his eyes. I believe that the guy was, you know, God was obviously, you read this word, you give it a real look. And you have to be hard-hearted not to see it. Let's put it that way. You really have to be hard-hearted not to see it. Jesus Christ was dealing with a whole bunch of people here in Mark chapter 4. He was teaching them the word. Now, there was no better teacher than the Lord. There was certainly no more loving man than the Lord. He had healed plenty of people. The crowds wanted to know who he was. The religious leaders were all upset. They were trying to kill him. In fact, just in the previous chapter, he healed a guy at the synagogue, but it was on the wrong day as far as they were concerned. See, and envy is an amazing thing, because that's what it says that they were guilty of. They hated him because the people were listening to him. You know. So, it says here, he began in chapter 4, and he began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat at the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things in by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, and behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell by the stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because there was no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on the good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, he's got a multitude in front of him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, multitude is a multitude. We're not talking about a handful of people like we have here. We're talking about a multitude. And this is what he says. And you guys that have ears to hear, hear. Now, this is pretty amazing. There's a reason for this. All that has gone beforehand has, they have rejected him and rejected him and rejected the words that he's taught. And in the other gospels, they said, oh, you got a devil. All right. So he says this to the multitude. Now, how would you feel if you were one of the multitude? Put yourself in their shoes. If you were one of the multitude, this is it. This is what you got to say. Story about the sower and the seed and going out. And I know that. Everybody knows this. This is great spiritual thing. In fact, he was his disciples. This was, hey Lord, what are you doing? Verse 10, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. I'm going to teach you the things of the kingdom of God. But to those guys, I'm just going to talk to them in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time that they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know you not this parable? Then how shall you know all parables? Parables, and in Matthew, the same thing. Parables are a judgment. It is the Lord's judgment upon those who are merely curious or critics. They are spiritual truths, but they are put in such a form so that those who really don't want to hear and don't really want to see, they don't. They don't get the great things of the Lord. They don't get the great things of God. It's how you hear. He says, if you got ears to hear, hear. Go to Matthew. I'll just read it to you here for a second, because he says it beautifully. Matthew chapter 13. In verse 10, it says, right after he talks to them about the parable of the sower, the disciples came to him and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you talking? You got a multitude of people in front of you. Why are you talking to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. That for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for you hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. I'm going to teach it to you. We're going to go back here to Mark chapter 4. The whole reason that Jesus spoke to them in parables was because there were so many of the people who came to listen to him that didn't want to hear the word. They were just there to see the show. They were curious, maybe. Or they were his critics. They followed him around constantly. And he said, this is a fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah. Their ears will be closed. Their eyes will be, closed to what I got to say. And they're not going to understand. And I'm not going to, this is the way it's going to be. So to the men and women who followed him that really did want to know, he sat down with them and he explained the parable. To the rest, he just gave it to them and walked. See, God in his word, it's always been this way. Isaiah went out and he spoke to the people, right? You got 64 chapters in Isaiah, 65, 66, I forget. And they didn't believe a word he said. Jeremiah spoke to them, major prophet again, and they didn't believe a word he said, not one. In fact, God tells them at the beginning. God says to Isaiah, I want you to speak my word. He says, I don't know if I can do this. And he touched his tongue and he said, you can do this. But he also told him he's going to spend the rest of his life speaking the word, and not one single soul is going to believe. But God's love and his mercy was to give it to them. And you know who get benefits from it now? You and me. I can read those promises. I can see those blessings. I can see those warnings. And anybody who wants to really know can and will. Yet the people that they were spoken to in their lifetime did not believe a blessed thing. Same thing with Jesus here. There are a multitude of people who later on will cry out, crucify him. Yet there was a bunch who believed every word that he said and followed him as Lord and walked according to the truths that he gave. That's the way the world is. And there's no getting around it. So when he sits them down and speaks this parable to them, he says in verse 14, chapter 4, it says, the sower soweth the word. That's what is being sowed, the word of God. And these are they by the wayside. When the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. And these are, and they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves. And so they endure but for a time, and afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust thereof, and things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad, be made known. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. A little bit clumsy as far as King James English goes, but get the point. We're going to go back over the parable again. There are four kinds of people. They all hear the word. And this is true not only for a lifetime. This is true for you and I every day of our life. You ever, I read this thing today and I just forgot about it. Just moved on. Or, wow, that was wonderful. And then all of a sudden, you know, something happens and it's just gone. And then there are other times when you've heard the word and you have sunk it in your soul and it has changed your life. That's how it's, they all hear the word. All of us hear the word. The people during the days of Isaiah heard the words. But he said to them, in verse 24, he said to them, take heed what you hear, right? And then with what measure you meet, how you measure this out, the way in which you measure this, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. The way in which you consider this, and measurement, let's say, poundage. How much weight this holds in your life? That same weight will be measured to you again. If this is something that you measure to be important, then it will be important. And if it's something you take lightly, then it will be lightly. That's how much effect it'll have. For the people who got no root, they hear the word, but they got no root. They got no depth. This just, oh, let me feel good. You know, I met one lady, an older lady, and she was Jewish. And I asked her, I said, what are your favorite books that you read in the Bible? And, you know, I assumed it was going to be the Old Testament. Well, we only like to read the happy books. I said, the happy books? Yeah, we only like to read the happy verses and the happy books because there's too many that are dark. And if you read the Old Testament, you know that that's true. Well, it's the same thing with Christians. I got my pretty verses that I like to keep, but I don't like those other ones, you know, don't get drunk and adultery and sin and, you know, I have to surrender to my Lord and not so much. I like the happy verses. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's true, isn't it? Certainly true in my life. I like to read the happy ones. But every word of God, every word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, which is instruction in right living. This word is a lamp unto my feet. And here it says, in 24, I just want to bring it to your attention again. What you hear, right? And he said unto them, take heed, pay attention now to what you hear. I want you to go to Luke where he talks about the same parable again. Luke 8. In verse 18. I'm not going to read the whole parable here, but I want to get start from verse 13. It says, and they on the rocks are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while they believe. And in a time of temptation, they fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they hear, they go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life and bring forth no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart having heard the word, keep it. The people who are in the good ground, they keep the word. And they bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel, or puts it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. And Mark had said, what you hear. Now he says in Luke, how you hear. For whatsoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to have. Take heed how you hear, and take heed what you hear. And if you don't take heed to what and how, whatever you heard before can be taken away. If you hear it to the end that you put it in and do it, and you got good fruit, you'll be given more. So, what would be an example of taking heed, how and what? Well, just think maybe if you had parents, right? You had good parents. And simple example, dad says, no, you can't borrow the car. All right? But he leaves the keys up on the top of the dresser. So you said, you don't really mean that. Take the keys, go out and drive the car, bring it back. You heard what he said. You heard what he said. Now, I'll leave it to you what's going to happen. All right? But the point is, how you hear. Is this the Almighty God's word? Does he mean what he says? Does he say what he means? Because whatever you measure it, you're going to get. You follow me? Take heed what you hear and how you hear it. So, there are things that we consider, well, this is important, and this is not important. This is the person who's speaking to me. It's okay. And every day of our lives, we consider, I want to say to you, this is not like a once-in-a-lifetime salvation and not salvation moment. It could be. But what and how you hear the word. I mean, when you hear it and it's taken seriously and with integrity and you realize who's talking to you and this is life and death and importance, then it will change your life and it'll guide your path. And you'll have the blessings and the hope. You know, you'll have what he's got in his word as a promise. You'll have a relationship with your Lord and with your God. For many people, this is just, this is a 10-minute thing a week. You know, I just go, maybe I'll pick up the Bible a couple of times a year. And I'll look at it. And I just want the happy verses, though. I'm sorry, we're not serious. These are the kind of people that Jesus spoke parables to. They have judged themselves unworthy of God and his word. There are many brothers and sisters who judge themselves unworthy. And that's sad. But you can change that any day you want. You can change that, but it's you that has to deal. You have to deal with it, not me. I have to take care of my own. You have to take care of yourself. There's nobody holding me down. Nobody preventing me. At least not right now. But when you have something, you get more of it. And when you lose that which you had, then even that's taken away. That's just, oh, why would the Lord do that? Well, it's because it's the way it is. It's the way it is. If I want to take you to the book of Acts just for a minute. Did things change? Chapter 13. I want to just show you a little bit of this record. In verse 1 it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrene, and Methelon, which hath been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. The leadership in Antioch, God said to them, I want you to take these two guys and I want you to send them to the work that I want them to do. And they prayed for them. Because this is how the word moves. This is how things happen, really. God moves his word. God calls his people. God's got a job for you to do, right? Every one of us has got a big job, all right? I mean, we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation, every single soul. But sometimes God wants you to do, all right, I don't want you to be here. I want you to go do this over there. Same job, but I want you to do that over there. Go to a different place. So Barnabas and Saul is still young in the word. This is going to be the Apostle Paul eventually. He's young in the word at the moment, but they send them off to do the job for the Lord. They go off and they end up, they go down, verse 4, they depart unto Seleucia, and from thence they sail to Cyprus. And when they had set, and when they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, and they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputies of that country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. So here this guy, a real important gentleman, he calls them for an appointment. I want to hear what you guys got to say. And Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And Saul, who also is called Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to prevent the right way of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, and not see the sun for a season. And immediately there fell upon him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And when the deputy, when he saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. This just first incident out from being called to go do the job. You got God's judgment on this false prophet. And you got the leader in the area there believes on the Lord, right? Then they go to a different city. They continue on. And they depart, verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue, and they always did that. They went to the synagogue first. Remember, these men are Jews. They walked into a town, and where did they go? They went to their church. They went to their synagogue. All right? And the custom, there was a custom there. It gave them an opportunity. And then they said, verse 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And Paul stood up, and he beckoned with his hands and said, men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. The God of this people Israel hath chosen our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out. He starts preaching the word to them, starting off with where they were when they're coming out of Egypt. He brings them in a very quick way, if you read his teaching here. This is how he preached. In a very quick way, he gets to David. And then when he gets to David, he gets to the resurrection, and that this Jesus is of the seed of David, and God raised him from the dead. What I wanted to bring you to, because you can look at this yourself, it says, we're going to just pick it up here in verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, talking about our Lord. And by him all that believed are justified from all things, from which there comes not, they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest there come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers and wonderers, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath day. And the congregation broke up, and many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day there came together the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy. There's that envy again. And they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. There is always this war when the word is spoken. You have, when you are called to speak the word, this is your job, right? You got the ministry of reconciliation. God has given you the word of reconciliation. You got the power of God within you. you're not at a disadvantage here. All right? I don't think Paul was at a disadvantage when he faced the counterfeit prophet. He just did what God told him to do. People believed. The other guy didn't. He went away blind. He spake in front of this whole group. He told them the word. He's preached the resurrection. He preached Jesus Christ. And then he warns them in verse 40, but don't be like those guys in the book of Isaiah. Just like Jesus said, if you got ears to hear, hear. Everyone you speak to is in that kind of category. Are you going to hear what is here for you to receive and have? Or are you going to hear it in some foolish way that it just gets blown right off the top of your head and you don't care? That judgment God has made throughout his word. And people who choose that, that's their choice. God didn't do anything to bug them. They did it. They put themselves in that because they chose, they heard the word, but they didn't choose how they heard it or what they heard. They didn't give it the measure of importance that was necessary. And those, there'll be plenty of people with envy. There'll be plenty of people that make trouble. There'll be plenty, they rile up the women. Once you get the women all riled up, everything goes to heck, right? I always love it when he puts it in there. But, and then it was envy. They're, look at all the people listening to them. What's going on here? And then they automatically start speaking evil against what you're doing. But it's for a selfish motive. It's just like many churches, we don't want to speak anything controversial, so we fill the building. It's not worth to go to a building like that. I don't care how pretty it is. I don't care how nice the music is. You're wasting your time because they don't measure that word with that kind of weight. Therefore, they won't give it to you. You figure it out. It's up to you. You read it. Somebody teaches you and it matches up to this. Praise the Lord. Sit and listen. If it don't, mark it. If they come back to it, nobody does everything perfect. I'm never going to teach the Word of God perfectly. I'm still learning. But I'm trying. And you can figure that out. Follow me? Just like a good husband. Good husband ain't never perfect. Right, ladies? They just get to be bums on certain days. I don't mean that they don't say I'm sorry and come back and do it right. Everything in life is like that. How you hear the word is your responsibility. When you speak it, you speak the word. It's their responsibility how they hear it. Not my judgment. It's the word's judgment. This is something God has put throughout the scriptures. That's why when they were treated badly and they got thrown out of town, they wiped the dust off their feet, just like Jesus told them, just let it go and move on and go to the next place. So take heed, therefore, how you hear. All right? That's what I wanted to share with you this morning.